This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Hey, everybody on the internet. Hey, everybody listening out there in the cars. Hey, everybody listening to this final hour on the free Odyssey app. It's time for us to go around the NFL, Anthony. We got a couple of moves that have been made, and we got a couple of moves that we're waiting on. That's actually where we are going to start with Sam Darnold, who the Vikings are potentially going to franchise tag. That would give them control of Darnold for this season. Ultimately, they could pay him whatever that fully guaranteed amount of money is. It would not be like a crazy quarterback number. It would be also not a long-term commitment. But what it would really do is control the market, where if another team wanted to come get him and then sign him to a deal, they could potentially get compensation in return. If I am the Vikings, Anthony, and I know I'm going to get something in return, I might do that. But what I don't want is Sam Darnold back on the tag number. And thus, I probably, unless I know that I am going to get multiple offers and have a market, and someone's going to be willing to give something up, and Sam Darnold's going to be willing to do whatever with that new team, buddy, I am not messing around with that. When you drafted J.J. McCarthy last year, no matter what you think of McCarthy, because I don't want people to be like, hey, didn't you like McCarthy? I did like McCarthy in the draft, and I think he'll be a great fit with Kevin. But they obviously thought that too. They traded up to take him. You can't abandon that plan 1 year later because you walked the right side of the Sam Darnold tightrope for most of the year, and then he reminded you that it was a tightrope at the end. Frankly, even if he hadn't done that at the end, if he wins you a Super Bowl, fine. If he gets you to the Super Bowl, fine. But I think you have to stick with the rookie quarterback plan, and paying Sam Darnold a bunch of money eats into the advantage that you have for having a rookie quarterback. And if you messed up the quarterback pick, well, that was going to haunt you pretty much no matter what. You better find out sooner rather than later. That's where I'm at on Darnold.
Nah, I agree with you, Craig. I definitely think they should stick with the plan, go with JJ. And even when I look at Sam Darnold, and I admire everything he did last year because he definitely did turn the team up last year. But at the same token, I don't think this is a guy that elevates the players around him. They have a lot of talent there in Minnesota. And I'm not saying like he didn't do, you know.
He played the best he's ever played in his whole career. And I'm hoping that Sam Darnold has a Baker Mayfield-like turnaround. I wish Sam Darnold nothing but the best. But frankly, it sucks for Sam Darnold because probably the best thing for him would be to stay with Kevin O'Connell and certainly staying with Justin Jefferson. But if I go to PFF and I go to passing grades, QB, turnover-worthy plays, you know who led the NFL in turnover-worthy plays last year?
Don't tell me Sam Darnold.
It was Sam Darnold. Good According gracious. To PFF's metric, it was 27 turnover-worthy plays, turnover-worthy throws that Sam Darnold had. That was those guys don't count. Of guys who, like, played. Let me see if I can throw a filter in here. Minimum dropbacks of there. Yeah. Of guys who, like, started 18 games. He and Matt Stafford not only had the highest number, but the highest percentage. If you drop that off to 50%, Cousins was the only one, like, of regular starters that had a worse season in terms of turnover-worthy plays. Now, high risk, high reward. His average depth of target was 9.3. That's one of the best in the league. In fact, it was tied with Lamar Jackson for best in the league in terms of pushing the ball down the field. So he's just a high risk, high reward guy. But I think in that offense, with the amount of playmakers they have, like a guy with a little less variance and a little more guarantee of getting Justin Jefferson the football, that's probably what they want. And not to mention value. At what cost? I would just not mess around with that if I was the Vikings.
Yeah.
The Philadelphia Eagles have cut Darius Slay. This is super interesting because he played really well. Now, they have their CB1 of the future in Kenyon Mitchell. They have their nickel of the future in Cooper DeJean. They got to find another dude outside. They have been exceptional at finding dudes. But Darius Slay out there, and he's someone that could wind up on another NFC team. Like, could he go back to the Lions where he started his career? Could he go to Green Bay? Could he go to one of those teams? I don't know necessarily that he's a guy that you're looking at if you're Washington, depending on the price. Like, if he's cheap, hell yeah, I want Darius Slay. Physical, probably has an axe to grind, knows those Philly guys real well. But if he's not going to be super cheap, I don't think that you spend more money considering you're paying Marshawn Lattimore already at that position.
Yeah, I wouldn't spend any money. He's getting older. He did play well last year, but when you got that defensive line in front of you, and not to say, it's the easiest thing to do, but I think it makes your job a little bit easier when you don't have to, worry about, when the ball's coming out so quickly.
A couple other names to watch on the franchise tag market / on the just got released market. On the just got released market, Alex Kappa, guard from the Cincinnati Bengals. He's 30 years old, but he hasn't missed a game in 2 years. Obviously, the Bengals' offensive line has not been amazing, but like he's a solid player. And I think he's the kind of veteran that you have to look at if you're Washington. Now, I haven't watched him enough on tape. I don't know exactly where his level is. In fact, I'll pull up his PFF grade real quick, which is a data point. But I think that overall, like for an upgrade on the offensive line, you could probably do worse than that. So I think he's a name that's probably worth watching.
I mean, when we have offensive line needs, I think it's important to, do our due diligence in all those guys that are available. Not to say we have to unsign all of them, but still give them a chance.
He didn't have a great year, to say the least. His pass block grade on the season was pretty horrendous after the first 4 weeks. It was a 39.7.
Good gracious.
His run block grade was a 54.9, so not great. He had a game that was a 9.6, another game for a pass block grade, another game that was a 10.1.
How do you do it against the Commanders?
Against Washington, actually one of his better games of the year. He had a 60 overall grade, 69.9 pass block, 54.2 run block. It was awesome the next week against Carolina, when Carolina was poop.
Yeah.
So, look, he's a vet. He's not great. I actually don't know how much better he is than a guy like Nick Allegretti. But another option to certainly the 30-year-olds look at. Alex Kappa. Osi Adigizua is a name that you might know. Cowboys defensive tackle. Apparently, they're going to tag him if they can't get a long-term deal. So that's someone that I wondered if Dan Quinn would make a run at. He's off the market. So that sucks.
Yeah, that does.
And then, last but not least, perhaps the biggest one of the day, save the best for last, T. Higgins. Tagged for the second straight year. At $26.2 million, which I believe is the number. It's 26. I think the .2 is right as well.
Yeah. Yep.
That's a no-brainer for Cincinnati. As long as they can then get a deal done with Ja'Marr Chase and like hopefully get this deal done long term. But like, I think T on the open market is going to cost you more than 26.2. So why wouldn't you just pay the 26.2 and keep your leverage?
Yeah, I think that's a smart route to go as well, because they were saying like he's going to try to command over 30. So and that's a lot of money. So sign him now or, franchise him now and then see if you can get everything else done with Ja'Marr, Trey Hendrickson, and then circle back.
Well, that's the fun one, right? Is 26.2. It's one thing if you're paying him that AAV and you can get a low cap hit in year one type of thing. That gives you a little more wiggle room for Hendrickson. I wonder what happens with Hendrickson now. Can they figure out a deal with him? Or do they just ignore his trade request again and say, hey, dude, you're playing here again? Nobody ignores a trade request like the Cincinnati Bengals. But the other interesting thing about T is T and Jamar share an agent. That was a change during last season. I think I heard that on the Athletic Football Show. Their Bengals reporter was like, they realized, or T kind of realized, like, man, my current agent, you know, it's not working. The Bengals, we can't get the deal done. But if I go to where Jamar's at, then we can kind of be a package deal. And Jamar and T are, that's how they're thick as thieves.
Yeah.
And, you know, Joe is right in there with them. Yeah, I don't know if he shares the same agent, but, like, they want T there. Jamar and Joe want T there. And so the thing was, is if you mess with T, you're messing with Jamar. And I don't know if you've been on Instagram today, Anthony, but Jamar kind of gave a, what? He posted a meme tagging T, like, huh? So I wonder if that's coming from Jamar's agent and conversations the three of them have had, or is that just Jamar being like, huh? And they're actually, you know, hey, Jamar, chill. It's cool. We're working on a deal. This is something that the Bengals are just doing in the meantime. But definitely something to watch. Jamar Chase, he's got a year remaining, so it's not like he's about to become a free agent or anything. But they should have extended him last year, if not 2 years ago. And all it's done is get more expensive as Jamar Chase went out and won the Triple Crown. And now it's apparently a package deal with T. Higgins. So we'll see if the Bengals can land that. So when we get back, a couple more thoughts on Deebo Samuel to the Commanders. We've been talking about it all day. Take a couple of calls, 301-230-0980. Wizards talk at 6:30 with Dave. But first, the latest on the world in... our latest in the world of women's sports, presented to you by Wawa. Chicken how you want it at Wawa, with customizable crispy and roasted chicken sandwiches. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. Let's take a call real quick at 301-230-0980 on Deebo Samuel, who the Commanders have acquired or will officially acquire coming up at the start of the league year on March 12th from the San Francisco 49ers. Let's go to Darren. Darren, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hey, Craig, how you doing this evening?
Doing well, Darren. Thanks for calling.
I'm sure you are. Look, on Deebo, I think this moves the needle. Just for me, it moves the needle because when I look at his numbers last year, as opposed to De'Ami Brown, it's doubled in all categories. So it definitely moves the needle for me. Yards after catch, receptions, touchdowns, everything, which was few, little to none. But still, he doubles everything in production. Then he has that attitude. I think Dan Quinn, they want that attitude, that dog. They like that dog in him. And I believe they're going to bring in a receiver that they're going to hope from out of the draft, that they're going to hope that can be maybe not equivalent, but just comparable to Terry McLaurin, because we got to build for the future. So we need somebody that's at least that's comparable to Terry McLaurin or somebody moving forward. I think they get these old veterans with that dog in them to teach these young bucks that dog mentality. I think he's a good building block. I trust Adam Peters. He knows this guy. They're going to whip him in shape. You know, I got trust in his medical staff, how they dealt with the veterans and all the injuries this year. Now that I think about it, I mean, I'm really impressed with this medical staff. I mean, it's really a well-oiled machine. They brought in this Swiss Army knife, which Deebo is the way I see him. I mean, he'll dog a defender, and he plays on offense. He'll make you don't want to get near him.
Yeah.
Man, he's a mean motor scooter. So I like the signing. And just one quick stat, I'm gonna tell you real quick.
All right,
that
hit
I
me.
Found on AI. Just real quick, Craig.
Okay.
Okay. Samuels reached a top speed of 20.9 miles per hour while receiving a 76-yard touchdown down in October 24. This was his fastest speed since 2019. However, it was the third most fastest in the NFL last season. Now, that's just food for thought. I'll take it off the air.
All right, Darren, thanks for the call. And you know, Anthony, what Darren might say about that Deebo stat at the end. That's a fast motor scooter.
Yes, sir. Have you heard that before?
I have not. Is that a thing?
Yes, a thing.
Is that?
It is a thing. The motor scooters, man.
I am. I'm kind of upset, honestly. Why have the rest of y'all been holding out on me?
I mean, it's a thing. I mean, maybe it's just not as popular. He's also, I think he's a little bit older.
I was going to say, like, this feels like something that perhaps is older and like your pops and his friends might use.
Yeah, they're using that.
Yeah. Okay.
That's funny, man.
I kind of want to call Yates on the air right now.
you want to hit him with it?
Like Yates is too young, but Yates knows a bunch of older brothers that use that.
Nah, he would get it. He would know what you're saying.
But I'm like, Clinton's dad's a little bit older. What is Clinton's dad saying it? Or is it slightly, is it somewhere in between?
Probably his dad. I mean, I don't know. My grandparents, they were 65, between 65 and 70. So I think that age bracket right there, the baby boomers.
So Clinton's pops is probably, might be saying something about a motor scooter.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, you learned something new today, Craig.
I did. I hope
you use it. I hope you use it too.
Am I allowed?
Yeah, you can use it.
All right.
Boy, fast as a motor scooter.
That's a fast. Well, he didn't say fast motor scooter. He said that's a bad motor scooter. He was using motor scooter as a replacement, as a substitute for something else that he couldn't say the way he said it. But then it's that. That's a fast motor scooter. That's tell you what DBO Samuel is. By the way, I'm going to just say this out there now for everybody. Ladies and gentlemen of the Washington, D.C. Greater Metropolitan Area, who are now going to become fans of Debo Samuel. His last name is Samuel, not Samuels. This is actually, and this may be news to some of you, the same as Curtis Samuel. Who was also Curtis Samuel, not Curtis Samuels. This is different than some of the other players that have played in the NFL whose last names were Samuels, like Chris Samuels.
I was just thinking about him.
His name, the receiver that the Washington Commanders have just acquired, his name is Debo Samuel, singular. And he is a fast motor scooter.
Yes.
Dave Johnson is next.
Right corner, Kispert open for three. It's there.
Time to get the radio party started.
Feeds now the right block of Alsar. Slam!
It's time for Dave Johnson on a Wizards game day.
Blocked by Colabali. Left wing George. 3 on the clock for three. It's there.
Feel like busting loose. Busting loose.
Crossover step back.
On the Hoffman Show.
Feels like we haven't done this in way too long. It's a game day Dave here on the Hoffman Show. Been traveling, been out. Wizards had the All-Star break. Things have been all over the place. But the world is back on its axis, at least in terms of the basketball world. Dave Johnson joining us from Miami ahead of Heat and Wizards tonight. 7 o'clock pregame here on the Team 980 for 7:15 tip. I think you have that right, Dave, or it's 7:15, 7:30 tonight?
It's 7:30, but we'll be on Team 980 at 7:15. So I think
there we go.
You said it exactly right. That's when our cavalcade of greatness begins, or at least the best I could do this afternoon, full size.
Cavalcade of greatness is now the expectation you've put on yourself. You did that to you, Dave, but that's between you and you. You can figure that out roughly around 7:15. The Wizards defense as of late, it has been much maligned this year, and frankly, for good reason. It's a young team that has struggled because playing defense in the NBA is hard. But the last couple of weeks, like kind of post All-Star break, they've had some really nice performances on that end of the floor. What has gone well for them? How much of this is personnel motivated, and how much of this is some of these young guys starting to really figure out what it takes to get stops in this league?
Well, you know, it's quite frankly, this team, and this is what you hope for back in September, October, that, you know, we hit March now, and is this team growing? Is it getting better? Are the key players on this team, these key young players, developing? Is it Keshawn George, who had, you know, three steals the other day? as Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart talked about, you know, wait a minute, we like the way he plays defense, but Draymond Green told us that back in December. So the point is, these players have the athleticism and have the intelligence. That's what it comes down to. That's why, if you're a Wizards fan, you're excited that Bob Carrington is playing the most minutes of any rookie. They're 29 a game, but they're all right around, you know, that neighborhood. And so, you know, you're seeing these teams for a second, third, or fourth time if it's an Eastern Conference team. And so you're learning, and you remember, okay, what didn't I do the right the first time around? And that's what you want to see, and that's what we're seeing with this Wizards team. It's in the right way. You know, it's no secret that look, this team has the capability to share the ball like they did Saturday in Charlotte, which, odd stat, you know, they swept the season series 4 games against the Charlotte Hornets. And I say odd stat because I don't care what kind of season you're having, what kind of season the other team is having. To beat a team 4 times is not that easy. But the Wizards are 6-1 when they have 30 or more assists. It just, all the metrics are, and when you talk to scouts around the league and people from other teams, they're saying, wow, you've got quite a collection of young players. And today, again, it's about player development. You draft, yes. You trade, yes. But now Justin Champagne signs a contract. And it's not a gift. It's a multi-year contract because we've seen enough that he is, with his toughness, with the way he rebounds, and by the way, part of defense is rebounding, he's a 6'5 guy that, you know, the other night, 10 points, you know, 8 rebounds. So what you're encouraged by is that here's a guy who was in the summer league, two-way, G League, all these steps where he could have felt, oh, God, I'm not getting anywhere, and now he's got a multi-year contract with the Wizards.
He does, and he's got an appearance on the Hoffman Show tomorrow. So when you guys get back,
But you know what I'm saying, Craig. As we're in this business, this broadcasting business, I don't know about you, but there are times when I thought, you know, I don't know if I'm going to make over $250 a week. And there are times I thought, you know, my friends have sales jobs or this, and you almost give up. And
for sure.
You know, Justin Champagne, he didn't give up. Okay, you're back in the G League now. You're back up here. You're back. That takes a lot of mental fortitude.
It takes a ton, and that's why I'm genuinely excited to talk to Justin about his journey tomorrow on the show, because the story, like, guys don't do this a whole lot. There are enough examples that you have a little bit of inspiration, but there are certainly not a ton. And especially, I think the thing that's special about Justin, Dave, is his size. Like, the way he plays is not a thing that you do at his size. And so the ability to not only overcome the odds of being a G League guy and getting a multi-year deal, but doing it in such an unorthodox combination of build and play style, like, it is a tremendous testament to who he is as a person that he's been able to pull this off.
And also his mother, because he says it was his mother that told him all throughout his young days, rebound, that's all. She wanted him to, you got to rebound. And she still gets on him about that. And again, look at his size and look at the rebounding numbers he puts up per minute, and it's off the charts. So credit to mom.
Credit to mom. Dave Johnson with us here on the Hoffman Show. And again, Champagne tomorrow, 4:15 is our scheduled time. That might move around, but planning on Justin at 4:15 tomorrow here on the Team 980. In terms of the new guys that have come in, Marcus Smart, Chris Middleton, what impact have you seen them have, not only within the games, but being around the team and in practice and what they've brought to this team just over a month after they were acquired, or just around a month since they were acquired?
Yeah, and you know what's great is they love being here, and they love giving back and teaching these young guys. And what I say, part of that is the dynamic of the players that we've drafted, quite frankly. And so Marcus Smart or Chris Middleton says, you know what, I'm going to give my time to these guys because I can see, you know, what's coming in the future. I can see the kind of pressure Bilal Coulibaly is under every night and how he accepts it, guarding the best opposing player more often than not. Talk about, you know, again, Marcus Smart, what he accomplishes at his size. He is, you know, we talk about Champagne being a game maker. I mean, game changer. Smart was that way. He was always a thorn in the Wizards' side back in the Celtics playoff, you know, days, that great series back in 2017. So, you know, he's a guy that you know, gets in and he looks like he had nuts and bolts for breakfast, and he's ready to play defense. Chris Middleton was in the G League. So, again, all the success he's had, you know, it's again, part of the development equation. You know, we don't know if either we'll be here beyond this next 6 weeks, but the important thing is you're on a journey. And look, we're on a journey. It's not just a cliche, but we told you, and we all agreed before the start of the season, this was not a team that was going to win a lot of games. But, you know, is it making decisions to improve? And you know, don't just go out and get veterans for the sake of, well, we got to make a trade and we got to get somebody. Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart are exactly the type of players that are helping these young players and that will help this organization because they are players that, no matter how long they're with the organization, will make a difference. You know, Paul Pierce was just for the Wizards for one season, but he had a lasting impact in terms of talking to players 2 or 3 years after the fact, and they still remember him being the first at the gym. And so this is the other part of the story. As we hit March, you might be saying, well, you know, they got one eye on April 13th, and when we're in Miami again, by the way, for the final game, and it's vacation time. These young guys are busting at the seams to try to finish their best because they want to go into the offseason saying, you know what, I got the most rookie season, or in Bilal Coulibaly's case, the second season, because you want the rebuild to have bear fruit sooner than later.
No doubt, and they want to be in a position to get as many minutes as they can next year and all those things, position themselves well heading into jump season, as Will Dawkins calls it. Last thing for Dave Johnson here, of course, play-by-play announcer for the Wizards. Dave, how many years have you been doing this?
This is my 28th, I'm proud to say.
28th year. In your 28 years of calling NBA basketball, how many dunks have you seen that were better than the one? Unfortunately, it was on the Wizards, but the one that Shaedon Sharpe had the other night in Portland.
Well, you know, I just listened back, and I was glad that I called it because, it sounds like I'm patting myself on the back. What I'm saying is things like that, as you can appreciate as a broadcaster, everybody out there listening, can happen so fast.
Yes.
That, well, wait a minute, did I call it? And look, as that was happening in real time, did not expect it.
And no, so that it was such a quick changeover, such a quick transition. Like, good on you for calling it. I probably would have been like, and oh my God. And that's all I would have said. And then I just would have sat there with my hands,
and believe me, I've had those kind of moments. But fortunately, or unfortunately, that was a NBA slam dunk all-star type of dunk. It just happened to be in a real game.
Well, good on you for calling it. That was it. I remember seeing, like, you get those alerts from, like, ESPN or Bleacher Report or The Athletic or whatever, and it's like, must-see dunk, and you click on half of them, and you're like, I actually didn't have to see that. Like, that was cool, but that wasn't anything. That one, that was a must-see dunk. That one was crazy. Tough loss for the Wizards that night, but they've won two of their last three. They're in Miami tonight. Dave getting ready for pregame here just over 30 minutes from now, 7:15, and then tip-off at 7:30. Dave, enjoy the nice weather. It's gotten cold again in D.C. Try to bring some sunshine back, eh? All right. Dave Johnson with us here on The Hoffman Show. Thank you, sir. Talk to you later in the week. And again, Justin Champagne, fresh off his 4-year, $10 million extension, will join us. He will not give me or you or anybody else a dollar, but he will join us on the radio tomorrow coming up at 4:15. When we get back, we wrap up the show with real things real people said into real microphones. It's I guess it's March. We're really getting into Nats season.
Yes, we are, Craig. But also, we finally got out of that massive dispute. That's also why I played it.
If you want more on that, you can go back to 5:30 today. Chelsea Janes joined the show. Of course, you can read her work on the Masson Nats years-long debacle. Finally being over at WashingtonPost.com/sports. Great guest today. Also a great spot from our guy, Nick Wagner, ESPN.com. I haven't said this all day. The John Keim of San Francisco.
He's been there that long?
I mean, he's not. No. Okay. Oh, I just mean like he's the 49ers reporter.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, gotcha.
Is there anybody? The dude in Denver, Tim Legwald, I believe is his name, has been covering the NFL, but he was with the Steelers, like covered the Steelers for a long time, and now he covers the Broncos.
Mm.
Are there anybody else in ESPN's reporter pool
that's been with like one franchise
for that long?
That's some good trivia right there.
That is. I mean, Nick's been there for like a decade, but like that's not, Kai's been there for three.
Yeah.
I feel like Rich Samini has covered the Jets for a long time. They've gone through a couple of Giants guys. No, she's younger. I'm like literally going up and down the Eastern Seaboard. This probably isn't great radio. Adam Teicher, I think, with the Chiefs has been there for a long time. There has got to be something better that my brain can be used for than like knowing ESPN's entire NFL Nation lineup off the top of my head.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're doing a lot better than me, Craig.
Archer's been in Dallas forever.
Mm.
Todd Archer might be a good answer.
Okay. And what about Buccaneers? What is her name?
Jenna Lane.
Jenna Lane.
I don't know. Jenna's
she's
old.
Younger than John.
I was going to say, I don't know, all due respect to Cakes, I don't know if she's old enough to be there as long as, I mean, certainly not old enough. I don't think Jenna was in, being a professional in the early 1990s. Yeah, I think that's probably enough thinking on that topic for now.
Tomorrow,
we'll come back with a full report. There's some teams that haven't been around as long in their markets as Kime is.
Nah, for real.
Raiders moving around a bunch. But the Raiders moved twice in Kime's time covering Washington. Did they go L.A. to Oakland, Oakland to Vegas? I don't remember when they moved out of L.A.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway. The point is, Nick Wagner was fantastic. Tomorrow on the show, Justin Champagne, 4:15. Also, we've been sitting on one final piece of content from Indy. We did a reporter roundtable. Excuse me, reporter roundtable. Second straight year we did it. And it was Brooke Pryor, speaking of ESPN's NFL Nation, John's colleague in Pittsburgh, who's also, of course, national, and you see her on Get Up and their TV stuff. And our guy, Dan Pizzuta. And we talked for like 40 minutes on three different topics, but one of them was why we think, and this was Dan's topic, why trades are going to become more prominent in the NFL. Well, that was like last Wednesday that we had that conversation, and then the Debo trade happens over the weekend, and there's probably more coming, so it feels like that's the part of the conversation we should play for you. The full thing will be in our podcast feed / on-demand channels on YouTube, etc. I missed any part of the show today, you can check it out there. We'll see what else comes down the pike tomorrow. 4:00 is the franchise tag deadline, so we'll probably have some more stuff on that. But for now,
real things.
We're not going to be so this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
All right. Quickly becoming a Real Things Hall of Famer is Xavier Leggett, the wide receiver from the Carolina Panthers, who is countryer than country could be. And of all the people who on the Carolina Panthers wind up being the translator for him, it's none other than Adam Thielen from Lake Minnetonka, Minnesota.
In receiver meetings, no one knows what he's saying except for me. So Coach Moore will literally ask him a question, Xavier will respond, and then Coach will immediately look to me like, what did he say? And I have to translate, and then everyone's like, why are you the one who's translating? It doesn't make any sense. But for some reason, I just understand what he's saying.
You call out a play.
Yeah.
In practice, he comes to you and he starts talking to you. Hey,
I've gotten better too. Yesterday, I seen him, and it was like a little loud where we were at, and it was dark. Yeah. So I'm like, all right, bro, I'm not gonna lie, man. Like, I can't, like, we can't have a conversation.
That second one, Bryce Young, by the way. So Bryce Young and Xavier Leggett go and have a conversation, Anthony. And Bryce is just like, nah, man, it's too, I can't read your lips. It's too dark in here and it's too loud. So if I can't read your lips and I can't really hear you, like, we can't talk right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, Craig. Xavier Leggett, the more and more I think about it, have you seen The Water Boy?
Yeah.
He sort of kind of gives me Farmer Fran, the guy that, you know, is just, there's a lot of talk. Nobody really understands what he's talking about, but they're like, yeah. Sort of kind of. He gives me those vibes
a little bit. I'm sure that there are people that is the case. Or they're just like, yeah, man. Next thing you know, he's coming up. Yeah, you want to get this raccoon that I made for you? And they're like, wait, what?
The raccoon.
Time comes for us all. For De'Aaron Fox, it's coming faster than he wants. Now, suddenly a veteran on a very young San Antonio team.
Being out there and just trying to be able to lead by example and also lead with my voice with such a young group of guys. But it's cool. They make you feel like you're a little older. Like we're playing Charlotte and Taj Gibson catches the ball and no one goes to contest his mid-range shot. And someone on the bench is like, these kids don't know who Taj Gibson is. I'm like, yo, this is crazy because like some of them are really that young and like didn't watch him in his earlier years or throughout his prime. So it is funny.
Happens to us all. That's our show. We'll see you tomorrow.